Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What up, what up, what up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
Yeah. Another one of those. This is for my Q. Down to earth, join the peace, baby. You know how we roll. There's so many that don't know.
They don't know.
This goes out to my Q. Rest in peace, baby.
They don't know.
You still here with me? What they don't know is the bull, the drama, the guns, the armor, the city, the farmer, the babies, the mama, the projects, the drugs, the children, the thugs, the tears, the hugs, the love, the slugs, the funerals, the wakes, the churches, the coffins, the heartbroken mothers. It happens too often. The problems, the things we use to solve them. Yonkers, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Harlem, the hurt, the pain, the dirt, the rain, the jerk, the fame, the work, the game, the friends, the foes, the bends, the what? The studios, the shows, comes and it goes. The jealousy, the envy, the phony, the friendly, the one that gave him the slugs, the one that put him in me. The snakes, the grass, too long to see. The lawnmower sitting right next to the tree.
What up, rest in peace, DMX, man. That's who we be from the Great Depression. I had to bring that in, man. They played that at the game. That took me back right there, especially when you listen to the words. If you listen to the words, it's like fitting that we played that at the game right here, because they don't know who we be. Just don't know what people go through, what they had to overcome, man. So it's the Ball Hawk Show, man. Appreciate you taking out your time to listen to the latest episode of the show. Show is sponsored by Aber Insurance. Go to Aber Insurance for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. The great people at Aber, aberinsurance.net. Also, this podcast is available on Believe Network, man. Go check out Believe Network. That's BLEAV.com. Check out all the podcasts, platforms, shows. Whatever they say is the official, like the official way to describe somebody, platform. Everybody got like a different descriptive of what they say. Support them all, but make sure you support your boy, of course, the Ball Hawk Show. And this is available on all other podcast platforms. So you can go to Spotify and you can write a review, or you can go to iTunes, Apple iTunes and Apple Podcasts, write a review. Give a couple stars, you feel me? I appreciate that as always. And go to YouTube, the Ball Hawk Show Podcast 2.0. Had to update the channel. So yeah, we're on YouTube as well, man. You'll see my live streams that I try to do every Monday afternoon with some homeboys and stuff like that, just talking all sports, not just college, but boxing, NBA, NFL, or just life stuff, just having a good barbershop type conversation. So y'all make sure y'all be on the lookout for those streams. I stream live on Twitter, on Facebook, and on YouTube, man. I try to do those on Monday afternoon. So be on the lookout for that. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. So let's get right into it, man. We're going to recap UVA's victory versus Duke that took place yesterday at Scott Stadium here in Charlottesville in front of an attendance of just 36,400 people. It was by far the lowest attended game this year. Yeah, man. Got to get more people in the seats because you know this upcoming game. If it's 36,000 Who fans, that means the rest of it going to go to those other fans. You know, the Virginia Tech fans, love them or hate them, talk trash about them. They were sold out versus NC State at Lane Stadium. They got smacked. They didn't get smacked. They lost. I'm just talking trash. Petty Hawk could. Like, Petty Hawk just started talking, and my voice didn't even change. He just was like hit me in the back, said they got smacked. Got smacked. Shout out to Brendan Armstrong. Total four touchdowns, two throwing, two rushing. B.A., Coach 2J, and Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob, they all got their first win at Lane Stadium. I know how I feel to win at Lane Stadium, you know what I'm saying? my bad, let's stick to Duke. Let's stick to Duke. So if you was at the game yesterday or you watched it on the CW, I actually like the CW's covers too, man. Salute to their production team. Salute to the people who run CW. Salute to the people who hire on CW, because y'all need to come holler at your boy. Yeah. Hey, holler at my agent, man. Icon Sports. Holler at my agent, Will, man. Let's talk. Now, put me on the CW. That's why I want to go to the CW, because, you know, they used to have some dope shows on the CW. Like, my wife and kids and stuff used to be on the CW. I like what they doing down there at the CW. You know what I'm saying? But only away games. When it's home UVA games, I got to do what I do for my Wahoo family. You know what I'm saying? But the away games, I got you. I got you covered. You know what I'm saying? Hold on, we getting sidetracked. What'd you say, Petty Hawk? You got something to say? Yeah, I got something to say. What you got to say? Well, no, I'm going to wait until you break down the game before I say what I got to say. All right. So for the folks who come in for analysis, here we go. Let's get to the analysis part of the podcast. For the folks who come here for the banter and the laughter, Petty Hawk going to jump in a lot this episode. So be prepared. Okay. Especially because we're talking about referees. All right. As far as I came home last night. I watched the TV copy. Then I watched the game film, the edits and things like that. Really like what I saw out of the team. Really like how they fired off the football on offense, especially the offensive line, getting a nice push, creating lanes for backs to see in the cutback. And I thought our backs did a good job of utilizing their vision, being decisive in the way that they ran the football, breaking the first initial tackles, because I know Coach Elliott was challenging them to be more compact and breaking more tackles, you know, yards after contact type vibes. So it was very encouraging. Very encouraging yesterday. This Duke team is very solid on defense. We understand it was on their third quarterback, you know, a true freshman, just like Calandria. And, you know, Loftus had three touchdown passes versus UNC. And then he came in and they called the game for him. They kept everything in front of him. They brought him along like you would want a true freshman young quarterback to be brought along. You know, make it easy for him, throw to the sticks, bring the receivers in the vision of him over the ball. That's what you want to do. And they did that well. I thought we did a good job of sending forward, dropping a lot, stunting every now and then, giving him different looks on the back end, whether we were playing off man, some type of combo zone, and just trying to mix up his rhythm, you know, not trying to make it very easy for him, because he showed versus Carolina, if you brought pressure, he was comfortable throwing in one-on-one coverage. And even versus us yesterday, anytime he got one-on-one coverage, he had good ball placement, especially back shoulder throws on the numbers. I was impressed by the throws he made one-on-one outside the numbers. The touchdown passes he had, they were good placed football. So good young quarterback, man, future. We saw the future of the ACC as far as the quarterback position from a Loftus standpoint. And from Calandria's standpoint, Calandria is a bona fide star. You feel me? That young man is maturing right before our eyes. Coach Kitchen's doing a very good job of playing to his strengths. How we call the game is complimentary football, but it's not like you're holding his hand or handicapping him. So when you see that we ran the football 41 times as a team, you got to think Calandria plays a role in that. He had 9 carries yesterday. I love that we gave Kobe Pace 21 carries. We gave Mike Holland 7 carries. Mike actually averaged 7.1 yards per carry. Kobe was the bell cow, because I know Mike has been banged up from the Georgia Tech game. So trying to bring him along slowly. But Kobe demonstrated that he can be the bell cow. Now, granted, he averaged 2.6 yards per rush. But it's a lot of the little things that he did, the subtle moves, the subtle cuts that we needed earlier to get the chains rolling, the quick toss that we had in the third quarter. I like that new wrinkle that we put in. That was a 15-yard gain that he had. So schematic-wise, if you compare last year to this, so last year with Coach Kitchens, he was catching a lot of vitriol. And we had a lot of we had data that could keep him afloat. You feel what I'm saying? It's like people will question this play call and what are we doing? We need to do this. We need to do that. But you had data like, hey, man, we're having a hard time protecting the quarterback. Or, hey, man, we got to finish, meaning guys got to catch the football. So that could kind of negate the vitriol and just say, hey, it's a wash. This season, you've seen that he's gotten better and better with bringing along the talent that he has with a signal caller, whether Tony Musket and what he likes to do, the timing patterns that Tony Musket likes to throw, the deep dig routes or the speed ends, the sail routes, the bang eights, those type of throws that Tony like. And then when you got Calandria, you got a lot of throws on the move, pushing the ball downfield, the seam routes. Calandria's improved a whole lot with his throws outside the numbers. The touchdown throw he had to Malachi Fields, he dropped it in the bucket. If you ever came to a football practice, a lot of quarterbacks have a competition where they put the football either in the front of the end zone, front pylon, or the back pylon, they try to throw the ball. I'm showing my age. But back in the day, I know when I was playing, quarterbacks would play a game where they would try to throw the football in the trash can. They do have those drills where they got the net and they got the three targets and you see the quarterbacks throwing it to the target. Or you used to see them quarterback challenge at the Pro Bowl, which had them big nets at the corner of the end zone and the quarterbacks would throw it and try to drop it. So that's what we call dropping into a bucket. So that touchdown pass, he had to Malachi Fields in the third quarter. He dropped that one in the bucket. And Malachi did a good job of having late hands. He didn't have an indicator to alert the defensive back that the ball was coming. Randy Moss was a master at that. Even though Randy Moss was known for mossing folks, jumping over them, Randy Moss was one of the best late hand receivers I've ever seen. He would just run and maintain his running motion, and he would show his hands late. Because in the red zone, and a lot of people always say, defensive backs, why don't you look back? Why don't you look back? If you don't have control of that inside hip / that upfield shoulder, you can't look back. And a drill that helps you not look back and still be able to play the football is the high five drill. A lot of times when guys are running deep routes, you see receivers, they flash their hands up because they want to catch it above their shoulders, you know, like high pointed. Anytime a defensive back sees the hands of the receiver go up, slap five. As soon as their hand go up, your hand go up. It's called slap five because it's usually bang, bang. Because a lot of times, good pass catchers put their hands up. They try to time it where they catch it in stride. They don't want to run down the field two and three steps with their hands out like they're going to catch the ball. Like, that's a novice. If you ever start teaching a kid how to catch a football, they'll put their hands out like three or four steps early and be running with their hands in front of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're trying to get somebody the cooties. But somebody who's familiar with catching the football, you bring it out in the last stride. Like, you're running, and as your foot's hitting the ground, you try to time it up to where you might be mid-stride, but you try to hit it once that foot hits down and you shoot your hands out. So late hands is where you see the ball is shoulder width and you allow it to come down almost to your chest, like to your midsection. Like, a late hand catch is very difficult to make. So that catch that Malachi made, along with the ball location that Calandria had, like, here's the thing, man. Calandria has been electric every time he's gotten on the field. He's been electric, right? So we understand, like, when we see him, we want that ooh-ah play. And he has a big arm. Throws a very good-looking ball. Like, when he throw the ball, it's a spiral. Like, it's pretty. It's a pretty football. But I like his decision making now. Since that Georgia Tech game where he came in, threw a touchdown pass, overall that Georgia Tech game, he completed 56% of his passes. Then on a short week versus a very good Louisville defense, he completed 64%. 64.5, basically 65%. He was 20 of 31. This game, he completed 21 of 30. He sat three straight games of at least 20 completions. He had 21 completions versus Georgia Tech, 20 completions versus Louisville, 21 completions versus Duke. He threw the ball 31 and 30 attempts, respectively, these past two games, which is very good because versus good defenses, you want to be very balanced because that's going to allow for the pass windows to be that much better. It's going to negate the pass rush because defensive linemen can't just pin their ears back. We're moving the pocket around. The type of runs that we're running right now compared to early in the season and last year just helps with the overall fluidity of the offense. And being successful on first down does a lot for this offense. I've been saying this for the past month. If we can get 4 to 5 yards on first down, it does so much for this offense, so much for the play calling. The play calling changes. It allows you to be aggressive on second down. If it's second and five, second and four, you can be aggressive. Now the defense has to play to you. They have to be safe because I can take a shot because I still have third and manageable. When you're first, rather if you throw the ball, you run the ball on first down. If you get 2 yards or less, that second down, the object is, I got to at least get half of this now. I got to at least get half of this, and I got to be smart. Because I want, when you have a young quarterback, I want it to be third and manageable because I want to make sure he can attack all three levels and understand that if pressure's coming, I could just drop it off here because it's only third and three, third and four. A lot of times you'll see if you have a young quarterback and it's third and 10, they can have an outlet, just the check down, they safety valve. Like a rush could come, a guy could be in a flat for 2 yards, but in their brain, they're thinking, I got to get 10. And we see this in the NFL a lot. When you look at quarterbacks like the Joe Burrows and even Deshaun Watson's, like even these guys is making millions of dollars. Just look at how they hold the ball on third down sometimes. Because a lot of times fans always say what, right? Like, it's third and 10. Why would you throw it 5 yards down the field? You got to get 10 yards. That's how the defense thinking. Defense is saying, hey, whatever the sticks is, we're going to play the sticks. Make them throw in front of the sticks. A lot of times, the good offenses, they will accept that. They will check down and say, hey, athlete, catch the ball, make them tackle. Can you tackle? And also, if they feel like your quarterback is going to hold the football, I'm going to bring pressure, play soft coverage, and I'm going to anticipate that your quarterback is going to be so naive that he's not going to get the ball out and not take a hit because it's third and long. And now I'm gaining either a sack, a pressure, I'm gaining some type of frustration type play versus your offense because in your mind, you got to get it all on the throw versus check down, let guys make plays with their legs. And we've seen that over the course of the season. The Miami game, what was it, like third and 10, third and 12? We ran the sell concept. We ran a corner route, and we ran the hitch route with Malachi. And Tony Musket threw it to Malachi. 4 yards down the field, Malachi turns up the field, gets the 8 or 9 yards on his own. First down. So, you know, here's it. You only catch flack when it doesn't work. A lot of folks not going to try to understand your mindset because at the end of the day, the result is it didn't work. But this is why I love doing the job that I do because I try to provide the full context and the thought process sometimes with this game that this game is very simple, but we make it very hard because we can overthink it. Just because it's third and 10 don't mean I got to throw the ball at least 10 yards. I could throw the ball 3 yards, but I might have a dynamic. Like, think about this, a screen play on third down. A lot of people frown at that. Or think about this, a draw play on third down. A lot of people frown at that. Why? Because it's stupid. Like, if it doesn't work, it's stupid. But if it worked, you're a genius. We result-based. This is a result-based job. It really is. It's a result-based job. Now, let me talk about something I know Petty Hawk want to talk about. I don't think I ever witnessed a drive in which it was consistent penalties against the same team. Even, like, the take the cake, the home team. Like, yo, I've never seen so many daggone penalties against a team. Like, I'll take that back. We talking about Virginia. We talking about Virginia. Virginia sports. I mean, I'm stuttering. This is how I go. This is how, let me see where it started at. The penalty barrage. I know it was in the second quarter when we got
support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The punt return, and we were backed up. Yeah, so it was a legal block in the back. So then on the first play, Kobe Pace ran for 7 yards. Penalty, holding on Boley, no play. First and 19, Calandria rushed left for 3 yards. We tried a quarterback draw, didn't work. The second down, Kobe ran for 19 yards. Penalty, personal foul, Ethan Davies, illegal blindside, which was total crap. Like, they make it very difficult to play football, man, because if a guy is pursuing the ball carrier and you're pursuing and you're coming flat to hit them at an angle, it's not a blindside if I just push your shoulder. I could see if I clean your clock, but the guy can he can see Ethan Davies. He's trying to beat him to the spot. To me, that shouldn't be illegal. Blindside means you don't see him. He can see Ethan. Matter of fact, he's checking Ethan, and he saw that is a run. He can see Ethan coming. And the worst part of that call is that Kobe Pace was two people inside of the whole play. Like, it's a judgment call, right? Like, just like they say, it's a holding every play. It is. It's a holding every play at the line of scrimmage. It really is. But it's a judgment call. So in the mind of the ref, he felt like if Ethan doesn't make that block or illegal hit, that dude would have tackled Kobe. Heck no. I ain't a ref. So Petty Hawk, we might need to go to the ref school, man. Cause we might be wrong right here. Then the next play, we ran up the middle. So here's a play that gave a lot of people cause to pause. It was a holding when Calandria was in the end zone and it was declined. Look, I'm not a homer. Here's my thing about that holding call. The lineman's hands was on the breastplate of the shoulder pads, meaning they usually allow linemen to grasp the breastplate of the shoulder pads. It's the inside is right on your pecs. You could, like, when you shoot your hands, you could literally grab that and use it as a steering wheel and steer the guy that you're blocking any way you want to. So, was it Ty Furness? No, because Ty's on the right. It was, they don't have who it was on. Who's out? Oh, shoot. I just went blank. Help me, Petty Hawk. Who I left guard, Petty Hawk? I just went blank. Oh, Sting. Was it Blake they called it on? No, not Sting. Yeah. No. Was it Steve? No, it wasn't Stevens. Who do they call it on? I don't know. It was one of them, but I felt like they didn't hold. I felt like they didn't hold right there. I really did. Now, don't get me wrong. It's flags I felt like were good calls. I really do. Like, they were legit. Like, Chico, when Chico butted, like, he can't butt the quarterback that late. Like, he did hit him. Like, the dude was so short, his face hit the quarterback's face. Was it Ben Smiley? When he drove the quarterback down, they call those now. Because we got that same call. Or did we not get that call versus Miami when Bain did it? But I didn't have an issue with those because I understand those. The flop that Buddy did on Famui was BS because we returned the favor and flopped and they didn't throw the flag. So when you saw our lineman flop and hit Calandria's knee and Calandria fell down, when I saw the CW's review, Famui did the same thing that lineman did. That D lineman at the end of the play just pushed the lineman off him and the lineman fell. Our lineman. Famui did the same thing. After the play, he pushed the lineman down, the lineman flopped, they threw the flag. That's what happened. No, let me talk. Now, this is what I want to talk about. This is petty hard. This is what I'm going to talk about. Where the hell was Corey? Corey, we needed you. CW, hire Corey Alexander to be a review booth master on the field for UVA football games. But I thought you said you wanted Tony Covington. Tony Covington ain't doing petty. Tony ain't running down on the field with no monitor. He on the radio. Remember I told you that ball? He on the radio. We need TV. Corey, they welcomed you open arms at JPJ when we choked out Texas Southern. But Shaq's son was playing that, Corey. We let you into JPJ. You couldn't come to Scott Stadium? Huh? You couldn't come to Scott Stadium, get something overturned? Hey, ref. Hey. Hey, excuse me. Hey, that's a flop. I'm a basketball player. That's a flop. Pick that flag up. Pick it up. Do the right thing. Thomas Jefferson, where's the Bible quote? Do the right thing. Quote some scripture. Come on. Come on. Ref. Come on, ref. It's me, Corey. Hey, it's me. Come on. Phil. How do UVA have, how many penalties they have in the first half, Ball? Get your little iPad up. Look at the penalties. Let's look at the penalties. In the second quarter alone, UVA had 5 penalties for 43 yards in the second quarter alone. Guess how many Duke had? Zero. Zero penalties. So that means UVA had how many in the first quarter? 3 for 31. We had 8 penalties to 0, and we the home team. And to top it all off, they coach, y'all didn't even explain to the coach why I want no safety. If it was a holding call, why I want no safety? I'm going to tell you why I want no safety call, because Calandria's, that dude would, look, man. That dude wasn't going to sack no Calandria, no end zone. Calandria's way on the other side. He was outside the tackle box. You know, but you know the one, you know the one issue I got. Sorry, Petty Hall, for cutting you off. The Ethan Davies flag reminded me of the Louisville flag. And it'd be your own people. Come on, brother. Why are you throwing that flag that late? Then you going to try to explain to Tony. Tony was like, his. One thing Bronco Mendenhall said that I really make sure I remember. Screaming and hollering at the ref ain't never changed no rule. Or talking to them after the fact ain't never changed. Like, hey, let me tell you something, ref. Hey, buddy. Don't be kind of try to explain to me why you put the banana in the tailpipe. Don't explain to me. How you gonna try to explain? Why are you explaining? You threw the flag. Come on, man. The blind side, come on, man. That was weak on Ethan, man. That was weak. You must be colorblind. I just wanted to sing Atomic Dog and George Clinton and them. But back to what I was saying, man. So just as far as like offensively, we was talking about offense, right, Patty? I don't know. I was talking about Corey. We need Corey Alexander, paging you. Can we page you? Can you always be on call when we need to make sure the refs got it right? That's it. We not doing that, man. Shout out to Corey. Corey, you are great. This is all jokes. Ball Hawk, I love you. Ball Hawk, you soft. I told you, you soft. That man grown. He don't listen to your podcast. He's a basketball player. You're a football player. He don't listen to you. He don't listen to you. Why are you being nice to Corey Alexander? He don't care. You are a little podcaster. He's on TV calling games. They see his face. They see your face on WhoVision. Ain't nobody at the games. It was 30,000. He get millions upon millions like he's the Rock. You, 30,000. Hey, Ball Hawk, how you feel? Millions versus 30,000. Matter of fact, when you on the Who Vision, everybody can such stand. They don't even see you. Why you not laughing, Ball? That ain't funny to you. Corey got millions of people. When he tweeted, he got like 38,000 folks in like impressions. When you tweeted, you got 3. You done, Petty Hawk? No, I got a couple more things to say. Why are you whispering like that? This is my evil voice, like Skeletor. But Skeletor didn't talk like that. But this is mine. I'll get you next time, He-Man. So that's the Petty Hawk version of I'll get you next time, He-Man? Yes. All right, can you get back to your voice? All right. Now, here's what I want to say to everybody in America. Well, hold on, not everybody in America, because this ain't a syndicated podcast. Ball Hawkey local. I want to say to everybody in Charlottesville, Virginia, and in Virginia, I give you Tidewater because you from the Tidewater. What else you think people listen to your podcast at? Man, would you hurry up before I cut you off? We 30 minutes in. We gotta talk about the defense, too. Man, the defense did good. Don't nobody want to talk about it. Look, we won. Ain't no breaking down, no film. Matter of fact, I'm taking over this podcast. Let me tell you something, Virginia fans. We won. I don't care what you say, we won, okay? We had a bunch of penalties. All on one legit. This is Petty Hawk. I'm finishing this podcast. This don't need to be a long podcast, okay? This don't. We won. We are victorious. Victorious. We won. We got 2 ACC wins this year. We had 1. Last year, we beat Trash Can Juice, Georgia Tech down there in Atlanta, in a Trash Can Juice showing game. It sucked. This year, we got 2 quality wins versus 2 teams in North Carolina. Both was ranked this year. Hey, that's improving, Jack. Then we beat a good Wilmer Murray team and Mike Leonard and them when nobody thought we and JMU. Ha ha. You lost. Shut up by the waiver. Ha ha ha. You got Pat McAfee when the tank top on, taking his shirt off, talking about A-E-C-A-A. Let us in. Let us in. Appalachian State was like, move, trick. Get out the way. Close the door. Yes, I'm laughing at y'all. Yes, I don't care. I don't care. You only lost 1 game. You should have lost to us too. But the weather gods, everybody was against us, and then we lost. That's what you get. If you weren't undefeated, y'all wouldn't be crying about this waiver. You knew what you were signing up for. You signed it. That's like a lady that signed or a man getting married, signed a prenuptial agreement, then get mad at a divorce because they got a prenuptial agreement. Like, where did you do that at? You signed it. You signed it. Read the contract. The contract said it's a rule in place. The rule might be stupid. I'm with you. It might be stupid. You moving up. Why you got to be under restrictions? You should be at a disadvantage because you moving up. But you know what? You made too much noise. And then they had the audacity to come to your campus and put y'all on the, oh, we're at GMU and so nice. This is our third time. We never been in Charlottesville. You really thought Petty Hart was going to sit here and not come back at you ESPN jokers for that damn shot? You got some damn nerve. Y'all have been down to Siberia to that cold ass Lane Stadium in the end of the Sandman's. That's where Petty Hawk was birthed. We served Shut the Hell Up Juice there in 98. We get it. You done been to JMU three times. Salute to y'all national champions at the FCS level. Respect to y'all. But damn it, you gone too far. You took shots at Charlottesville. Why? Why? What we do to y'all? We don't do nothing to nobody, man. All we do is sip Zim, wear our ties, our khakis, and chill. See? You know what happens? And then when we strike back, oh, you supposed to be better than that. You supposed to take the high road. We don't know the address. Okay? We lost it. We tired of taking the high road. We tired of being the bigger person. We tired of being professional. We tired of being classy. No, we getting in the mud right now. You took a shot, we coming back at you. Now, go to sleep, JMU. Don't say nothing to nobody, my friend. Okay? Okay? All right. Now, what else, Paul Hawk, did you have? Because this is Petty Hawk. I just took over this recap. This is the Petty Hawk. And make sure you put my name in the title. This is the Petty Hawk recap. Okay? Because I do numbers. When you put my name in the title, watch. We're going to compare. We're going to compare your last three episode recaps and see if I outdo those numbers. With Petty Hawk. And we gonna put it on the X app. Okay? Elon Musk, I need a Tesla. Okay, thank you. Malik Washington is the best receiver in the ACC. I know the kid down there at Florida State. He good. He nice. He catch touchdown passes. But he don't show up every week. Like, who is he? We don't know what he look like every week. We know what Foe look like every week. We know what Foe look like every week. The last five games, 115 yards, 152, 109, 155, 112. We know who Malik Washington is. Every time we turn on a game, we see four with 100 yards and at least eight catches. We see that. I don't know the boy from Florida State. Is he? What's his stats, Ball Hawk? Pull it up. Where he at? Where he at in yards? He ain't got more yards than Malachi. Keon Coleman got 615. He got 11 touchdowns. God dang. He averages 60 yards a game. Malachi fifth. Malachi got 722. We got the best duo in the ACC. Both of those dudes combined got 2,000 yards receiving. Malik got 1,311 yards with a game left. Oh my God. Malachi. He fifth. He got 722 yards, three touchdowns on 52 catches. Malik got almost 30 more catches than Restrepo. Restrepo got 68. Malik got 96. Malik averaged 8.6 catches a game. Malik averaged 8.7 catches a game. My bad. And 119 yards receiving. And Malachi is fifth. 65 yards a game. Malachi averaged 13.9 yards per catch. This the best duo in the ACC is number four and number eight. Might be one of the best in the country. They are one of the best in the country. Ain't no might be. Defensively, again, this is Petty Hawk. Ball Hawk, he got the day off. It's his wife's birthday when we recorded this on Sunday, November 19th. Happy birthday, my love. I mean, his love. Well, it's my love, too, because we the same person. Like, I'm alter ego, so I can say my, right? Yes, you can say my. All right, now back to me. Cam Robinson, beast. Cam and Jonas. I think Cam caused the fumble. But Cam Robinson, you a beast, man. You a beast. You a beast. That's it. You a stud. Any more descriptors that could just solidify that he was a four-star and he doing the damn thing? 11 tackles, a tackle for a loss, a pass breakup. Caleb Hardy had a – when Ball Hawk played – when we played arena football, we used to call what Caleb did as playing the jack. So we had you had a Mike linebacker, a Mac, and a jack. The jack linebacker was usually a receiver who had to stay in the confines of the tackle box and couldn't drop more than 5 yards back. And they had to read the eyes of the quarterback. And if quarterbacks threw the ball over the middle shallow, they would jump up and intercept it. And that's what Caleb Hardy did. He was spying the quarterback like he was a jack linebacker in arena football. And when that boy threw that ball and thought it was going to be complete, Caleb came out there, pluck up. Let me get that. Pluck up. That was a nice pick. Hey, man, let me finish the podcast, bro. All right? Because I don't know about you, but I'm getting out of breath knowing your daggone voice. What you mean? All right, man, you go ahead. So, yeah, that was a great play by Caleb. Basically spying the quarterback, dropping down in the hang area. And that was a top flight pick from Caleb. When Jonas punched the ball out of the tight end when he caught his little drag route, I thought that was a bang bang play. I thought that they caught it and took a step, made a football move. That should have been a fumble, but they said that was incomplete. But it still showed the ball skills and the world thought that Jonas Sanker has. Jonas, if you don't know, he leads the ACC in solo tackles, and I believe he leads the nation, or might be second in the nation, in solo tackles. He should be first team all ACC at safety. He has like 9 to 10 pass breakups on the year as well. Hold on, let me look. I'll look it up right quick. I got it right here. So Jonas is number 4 overall in tackles because the kid from Pitt had a lot of tackles that last game. So Jonas now has 97 tackles on the season, which is 4th in the ACC. He has 65 solo tackles, which is number 1 in the ACC. And then pass defending, I think Jonas has 8 or 9. He has 10. So Jonas has 10 pass breakups to go along with his league leading 65 solo tackles. Jonas have a very good year. A very good year. That's about it, man. I do want to say that watching how Duke attacked us defensively, I saw what, you know, Coach Rudd, bend but don't break, win third downs, which we did in the fourth quarter. They did not convert a single third down versus us in the third quarter, which was the turning point of the game. Another time, so this is another game. This is back-to-back games in which UVA has came out and dominated the third quarter. Louisville, they scored 21 points in the third. This game, they scored 14. They won 14-3. We were on the verge of, quote, not finishing again, and I love that Coach Elliott reminded them and was like, look, man, let's finish. Let's not do this today. Let's finish in his own way. And I like how Coach Elliott is actually being fluid in the way that he coaches, the way that he communicates with players. I saw he got in Famui's face when Famui got a little frustrated after he got the personal foul and kept the drive going. And then it was like a couple plays later, he threw a guy's shoe up in the air, and Coach Elliott got in him. In a way of, it was constructive. It wasn't like, get the hell out of here. That's not needed here. But he's learned to talk to certain players. Like every player is different. In the old days of that blanket statement, you coach every player the same, that's false. You don't coach every player the same. You don't communicate with every player the same. You build a relationship and you understand how to really push their buttons in a positive way in which it's conducive and that they're receiving the information that you're providing to them. It's not babying them. It's just understanding, like, you can't talk to everybody the same. You just really can't. So he's involving in a way he communicates, and his coaches are doing the same. But yeah, defensively, man, you know, we still got that bend but don't break, went on third down. When it's time to make a play. On a big run, their running back did a good job of breaking arm tackles. I don't know if we followed the same color like we did versus Louisville. I don't know if, was it Ben Smiley that did? I think it was Ben Smiley. I don't know if Ben was supposed to spill it or was he supposed to stay outside, but I know Ahern went inside and tried to make a play and Buddy bounced it outside. That allowed him to break the first initial contain, and then when he cut it back, Chico tried to pursue him, and he ran through Chico's arm tackle and then outran us for that 50, I think it was 55 or 58 yard touchdown. But for the most part, man, our run fits was very good. They were very good. And that's the one issue that Elko had for his Duke defense, that their run fits were off. And that was a credit to our linemen getting pushed, and then our running backs doing a good job of utilizing their vision and being decisive when they cut. But, you know, Petty Hawk was joking, well, talking talking junk about Malik and Malachi. Malik is so smart, man. And the thing about Malik that makes him a very difficult cover is he's very patient in his route running, and he has a certain burst and balance to him. He has a low center of gravity. Like, he's diminutive, but how he's built and how he, his balance is so good that he can burst you and hop jump and get out of his breaks so fast. And he has very, he's a natural hand catcher when he goes across the middle, that he doesn't alligator arm things, and he has soft hands. So you really hear the ball hit his hands. It's just soft. He caresses the football. You know what I'm saying? So when teams try to run those short zones, when he's the tight H or the tight S, depending on the formation, he does a very good job of not being rerouted, staying vertical, squaring up the defensive back, creating a two-way go, meaning he can go inside and outside without them knowing, of not having an indicator. And when he makes his break in the direction where he wants to go, he really accelerates away. A lot of guys, what they do, we call, they drift into the route, meaning I might be running at you full speed, and when I plant, and if I go to my right, instead of me really driving out and trying to accelerate out of my plant, I kind of just look and I slow down some. Malik doesn't do that. He has a certain burst, because a lot of defensive backs, when you run your route and you close the cushion on them, they look at Medusa. So if I'm backpedaling and you're running your route and you run a slant route, you go 1, 2, 3 on your third step, boom, you're going inside fast as you can. A lot of guys, if you close their cushion, once you make your break, they want to see if the ball's coming out now. And that makes them lose a step. Receivers could do the same thing. They could come out of their break and look for the ball. And in the process of looking for the ball, they slow down. Versus, I was always taught, and I would teach young receivers, when you come out of your break, get out, separate. Make sure your arms are still pumping. Because, yes, you want to look and see, because good quarterbacks don't throw the ball early. So when you come out to break, the ball will be on you. But you want to really pump out of that break. Really bring that arm through. It's like tracking your start. You really want to sweep that arm through. So Malik does a good job of that. Malachi dropped the touchdown pass. That was tough, man. I was telling somebody in the end zone right where he dropped, I was like, man, out of all receivers, that's the guy you don't expect to drop, you know, a touchdown pass like that. Like, high and away, he's the guy that makes those catches. And, you know, it happens. It happens. And then Ethan Davies dropped the hitch and go. Love that play call. Love the aggressiveness. And, again, Calandria's improved on his throws outside the numbers. He really has. I love the little wrinkles we have. We run I call our Cavalier N type of formation, where we got two receivers stacked and as a twins, and we have them spread out. So the box has to declare now, because if you want to cover those two twin receivers that's stacked on the numbers, you really have to take your defenders and get them out there. We show, you know, a quarterback draw out of that we started to drive with. We showed a quick screen to Malachi that we got a first down out of. Also, another wrinkle, when we put Malik at that tight H and we send him in motion, we'll run inside zone, right? Basically a zone read that we can run. So we hand it off to the back. Then you could pull it and you can run Calandria. Then when you run Calandria, you could also, while you got Malik in motion, he orbits. Now you have a throwback to Malik, or he could just come in motion flat like he did yesterday, and just, it's a That's an automatic run pass option to where when you pull from the back, you got Calandria pressing the line of scrimmage. Now that linebacker has to make a decision. Do you stop Calandria from running or do you take away Malik who's in the flat? Because it's Malik in the flat and you got a go route. Now, if you want cover two and that corner feels like Malik's my flat threat, now you could throw right on the run into the dead zone to the receiver that's running the go route. So I like that wrinkle that that Kitchens showed, man. He's been showing a lot, bro. He's been showing a lot. And I think fans are really appreciating that he's growing and he's getting better. Speaking of growing, salute to Will Beckridge also, man. Beckridge also had some clutch kicks yesterday. I believe he had a new career long yesterday. 46-yarder. Oh, he tied. I think his long was 40, 45. But salute to Will, man. Will's been... he's been reliable, and he's wearing Deshaun's number. So salute to Will, man. I love to see young men like that win. But, yeah, man, that's all I got, man. That's just my recap. I thought we did a lot of very good things offensively, throwing a lot of wrinkles, making it very difficult for Duke's defense to really adjust to what we were doing. Also, it goes to show the success on first down is very important because when you could play – in front of the sticks, meaning when it's second and five, second and four, you could be that much more aggressive to where you could take shots without feeling like if you don't succeed that your back's against the wall. And that we're being more successful with the tush push. I think we did it for my own 49, I want to believe. It was like fourth and two and we did it. So salute to the coaches for just staying aggressive, not playing to lose, but playing to win. I do understand late in the games it can be frustrating when teams seem like appear that they're marching the ball down the field. But we were playing, you know, umbrella coverage, keeping everything in front of us, making Duke methodically move the ball down the field. They did end up scoring in the process of scoring. They had no timeouts. It was a little over a minute left. Tavon Cowell did a very good job of going to get the football on the onside kick. So, you know, we sealed the deal. If Malachi catches that touchdown, we put the game away. If Ethan Davies catches that hitch and go, we put the game away because we can at least get three in that situation. So, again, still learning, still fighting. And you got to love the trajectory in which we're going. This schedule this year has been very, very tough. Every team we've lost to this year has a winning record. I want to say Boston College might be 500 now. Are they 6-5 now? You know, they lost to Pitt. Virginia Tech beat the brakes off them too, if I'm not mistaken. But the schedule is like the three wins this year are far more impressive than the three wins last year. It's just facts. The Duke and the UNC win. If we just say we didn't play Moore Memorial and we just beat Duke at the season end of the day, we just beat Duke and UNC. Those two wins were more impressive than the three wins we had last year. Because to me, those three wins last year weren't impressive at all. Like, you're supposed to win all three of those. Like, they were trash can juice. Respectfully, ODU, Richmond, and Georgia Tech, y'all were trash can juice. Y'all were. We had some close games like with the Miamis and things like that. And the Syracuse, that was a close game. This year, the close games, it was more close games. We got the same amount of victories, but these three victories are far more impressive. Far more impressive. Still got a good Virginia Tech team coming in. One more win, they become bowl eligible. So they found them a quarterback. Defensively, their defense line, they get after it. And I don't know if I'm going to have time to do a preview. I want to try to do a preview with my big bro, Dwight Vick, who went to Virginia Tech. But I don't know how the schedule this week, would it be in the holidays and things like that, if it could work out. But Virginia Tech's a good team, man. Defensively, they get after you. Offensively, they got a quarterback that stabilizes them, a dual threat guy. They have some playmakers on the outside. It's going to be a very, very tough game. We understand they travel well, so the stadium's going to be half and half, unfortunately. You know what I mean? We just had 36. They had 61K at Lane. We know half of that 61 live right here in Charlottesville probably. So they're going to be here. So I am happy that this team can experience a lot of folks in the stadium. At the end of the day, man, when you're on the field, people in the stadium excite you. Yeah, it's nothing like your home crowd, but just cheers and loudness is what you want. And it still got loud last night. I ain't gonna lie. It got loud. You could tell it was only like 30,000 in there. But, hey, man, it is what it is. I understand how the business work. I'm not casting aspersions at anybody that wasn't there. As long as you love the Hoos, man, hopefully we can get you to come back to Scott Stadium and enjoy it in person, man. We just got to continue to fight, continue to finish, and get more wins. So that's all I got for y'all, man. You know the motto, good is the enemy of great. Be great in everything that you do. Never let nobody tell you you can't do what you set your mind out to do. Make sure you subscribe to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. Share the podcast. If you got any questions, when I share this on the X app or on the Sabre, shout out to my dog Chris right at the Sabre. Just leave a comment, man, and I interact. Follow me on Twitter at I Am Ball Hawk, Instagram at I Am Ball Hawk, and Amar Hawkins on Facebook, man. But until next time, Ball Hawk, we out of here. Hey, Corey, no, Mohawk, you ain't slick, Corey. When you get done with interacting with all your millions upon millions of viewers who see you on TV, tell Mohawk you ain't worried about him being respectful to you because you don't listen to little people. Hey, man, whoa, brother, how you going to take a shot at me at the end of the podcast? Because that's what I do. Petty Hawk says, know your role and shut your mouth, Mohawk. We out of here.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.